We call any specific formalization of expression a regime of signs, at least when the expression is linguistic. A regime of signs constitutes a semiotic system, but it appears difficult to analyze semiotic systems in themselves. There is always a form of content that is simultaneously inseparable from and independent of the form of expression. The two forms pertain to assemblages that are not principally linguistic. However, one can proceed as though the formalization of expression were autonomous and self-sufficient. And even if that is done, there is such diversity in the forms of expression, such a mixture of these forms, that it is impossible to attach any particular privilege to the form or regime of a signifier. If we call the signifying semiotic system semiology, then semiology is only one regime of signs among others, and not the most important. Hence the necessity of a return to pragmatics, in which language never has universality in itself, self-sufficient formalization, a general semiology, or a meta-language. Thus it is the study of the signifying regime that first testifies to the inadequacy of linguistic presuppositions, and in the very name of regimes of signs. The atmospherization or mundanization of contents lead to the abstraction of everything. This is the situation of Levi Strauss when he describes that the world begins to signify before anyone knows what it signifies. The signified is given without being known. Your wife looked at you with a funny expression, and this morning the mailman handed you a letter from the IRS and crossed his fingers. Then you stepped in a pile of dog shit. You saw two sticks on the sidewalk positioned like the hands of a watch. They were whispering behind your back when you arrived at the office. It doesn't matter what it means, it's still signifying. The sign that refers to other signs is struck with a strange impotence and uncertainty, but mighty is the signifier that constitutes the chain. The paranoiac shares this impotence of the deterritorialized sign assailing him from every direction. But that only gives them better access to the superpower of the signifier through the royal feeling of wrath as a master of the network spreading through the atmosphere. The paranoid despotic regime, they're attacking me, making me suffer, but I guess what they're up to, I can guess. I'm one step ahead of them, I've always known. I have power even in my own potence. I'll get them. Nothing is over and done with in a regime of this kind. It's the tragic regime of infinite debt to which one is simultaneously the debtor and the creditor.
pedir que le ofrecemos de la realidad. Le ofrecemos de Dios la certeza de la realidad. Quien se ha pedido, le ofrecemos de la realidad.
Because Nietzsche had the gall to declare that God is dead, he would be dismayed upon learning that he neglected to consider that the failure to produce a dead body, that is absolute technological proof of God's death, would cause new Westerners and our ills and nothing more than a problem missing persons report. As the media informs us that when there is no body found, there is no crime committed. Because the media is not the theory, so God is not God, but rather has progressed in the way that diseases elude death by cultivating putrescence. The metaphysical infection of the divine continues to cultivate the global death now that the divinity's continual expansion portends. All are drawn to the spectacle of this great abyss, the divine. Though its temporal location has changed from the timeless to the real time, and the practice of eschatological prophecy has given way to an immense clamor, glorious clamor of each electronic transaction. This is why fundamentalists, even then unmoving, run wild from the media escape, distraught like a living dead they represent, having realized that their merciful God has transmogrified into the abysmal and merciless capital, with no quarter for the infidels and unbelievers in this new manifest destiny. Not that authentic fundamentalists have any real aversion at all to this changing of their God. It's not the first time in the history that one deity has been supplanted by another. Through some kind of postmodern voodoo curse, we still hysterically prostrate and lament the idea of God, and it seems we will never peaceful lay those remains to rest. We are already falling piously into the abysmal certainty of capital. Biological appearance is mediated by the compulsion to sustain itself, to produce, to be producing. Even if that natural production is more recently for us an out-of-control replication of the post-industrial human geographical reorganization, as in globalization, and perhaps especially so since our natural exhibition has given birth to the Fordist ideology of replication. In our hands, the natural exhibition has become a bi-mediated spectacle of continuously proliferating homeostatic and replicative singularities, informed operationally by the progenitorial flow of the code, thinking and attempting to augment itself. The primal location of our shared code, a truly universal text, and yet, for each of us, an intimate, unique, and singular code, is in DNA. That physical text and institution that constantly regulates itself, at once annihilating and restoring sameness to the difference it perceives as aberrant within itself, and all the while forwarding its cause. It is the very nature of the molecule. In quite the same fashion, our civilizing exhibition, or culture, while regulated by an incestuously static and purportedly well-bred aristocratic sovereignty, also functions to annihilate its differences, yet is somewhat deficient in its capacity to code for difference, unlike nucleic acid, which ensures difference within its code.